All right, good afternoon, Wrangle. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:02. We have our guest, Mike Green, in the studio today. He's here to talk about crossings and his experience in Wrangle and some other places. So please call in. That number is 874-2345. So thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For sure. So what is your position with Crossings right now?
Right now I'm an expedition coordinator, and that means that I am in the office in town here, and I'm running logistics, taking communication from the field and from our clinical team, and putting the two together.
Okay, yeah. So you're the guy in town that's making sure everything is okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about Crossings. I think people have a general idea of what it is, and they see you all out and about, but they probably don't know what happens every day.
So we're a program that takes kids from all over the state, and we take them out onto a 64-day expedition. Most of the trip is spent canoeing on the ocean. We also go up mountains and up the Stikine and canoe back down. We spend every day packing up our camp and heading out onto the ocean or down the river up a mountain, and just giving kids a safe space to, I like to say, struggle. It's a safe place to go out and deal with the things they're dealing with back home, or just, I don't know, things that they're dealing with in life.
How long are those trips for the kids?
For the kids, they're 64 days, and for our guides, they're anywhere from 28 to 46 days, depending.
Okay, so they switch out.
Yeah, so the kids will generally have two guide teams over their time in the program.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so like, in what month or what day were some of the trips starting? And
We come up for training in March, and that's when you see all our guides in town here. We come up and train for the month of March, and the guides get to go out on like a 10-day expedition, something like that. And then starting at the beginning of April, we send out our expeditions of kids starting mid-April, and we go all the way up until the end of December.
Oh, wow. We're
right around Christmas time.
Oh, my gosh. And you said it's a safe place for them to struggle.
That's how I look at it. Being from Wrangell, or anyone being from Wrangell, you know that it's just kind of a hostile environment. And it's a safe place for kids to come and be challenged and learn how to succeed in a challenging environment. So from taking care of themselves and keeping themselves dry when it's raining for 14 days straight, or keeping themselves fed and just working with a team to accomplish goals that they set out on.
Yeah, I mean, and give us a sense of who are the kinds of kids that you all are reaching out to for this program?
They're mainly, well, it's kids from Alaska who, I don't know, they're having something going on in life that they need either space from home, or somebody back home has identified that they could benefit from coming to our program and having a place to just separate from whatever's going on at home. It could be anything from stuff in school or family life or personal life.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, give me a sense of like how this program is, you know, it's not an outdoor vacation.
No.
But it's also not like just a like survival camp either. It's for like emotional therapy. It has a therapeutic purpose.
Yeah, it does.
What does that look like? How does that happen?
Yeah. Basically, you get dropped into Southeast Alaska, and we're given all the tools. We provide all the tools for success to have a successful ocean expedition, or to have a successful expedition. And it's teaching the kids and teaching ourselves how to work together and how to, I don't know, rise above adversity. So figuring out how to find fun in a rainstorm and success with your peers when you don't really get along.
When you don't really get along.
Yes. Sometimes, yeah.
So it's like, it's building teamwork. It's building resilience.
A lot of resilience. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
That's a big buzzword for us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. Cool. Okay, then maybe let's go to a quick break and then we'll come back. And everybody, you can call in. That number is 874-2345. Mike would love to hear from any of y'all. All right, we are back with our guest, Mike Green. He works for Crossings, and he's here to tell us about the program and a little bit about himself. So Mike went over the basics of the program. Mike, what makes for a good field guide?
I think a lot of our guides, we always talk about ourselves as being participants, and I think a lot of our guides come from so many different walks of life and went through their own adversity or struggles growing up. And what makes a good field guide is being committed to continue to grow, continue to invest in yourself and being able to learn as much from the kids you're working with as you hope to teach. And being patient and recognizing what your strengths are and bringing your strengths to your guide team out there. And utilizing those and continuing to continue to be committed to growing and recognizing that it's an ever-evolving thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm. It seems like a really eye-opening experience to
be
out there and with a lot of kids. And then, so, you know, what is the goal at the end of the day? How do you know that you made an impact on these kids?
Yeah, I think it's hard to, I used to work at another program and people would always talk about or always ask the question of, does it make a difference? And a lot of times in the moment, you don't know if it makes a difference. Like, we're not going to have a kid come into the program and leave 64 days later and just be a completely different person. And that's not the goal. But if we can have like little successes throughout the program, or just like a kid gaining confidence in themselves, or learning to work along with somebody else, that's success. Or just, I think it's, as field guides, we choose to do it, but to see these kids come in and like successfully take ownership over a 64-day expedition out there and have success in safely going from the beginning to the end is pretty powerful and pretty awesome in its own way.
Yeah, like even just staying safe is like, woo, you did it.
Yeah.
So there's that. So it's that they completed their trip and they did what they needed to do, but that they might gain a sense of confidence. You know, like, what does that look like to you? Like, can you give me any examples of?
Yeah. One that I always come back to is just not like an individual story, but we go out and try and climb mountains around here. And if you've ever been up a mountain around here, it's pretty thick and it's pretty steep and tough. And to see a group of 12 to 17 year old kids come together and carry a couple hundred pounds of gear up a mountain and get up there and have success and either rejoice in like making it to the top of a mountain, or also a lot of times we don't make it to the top of the mountain. And so to see them recognize that, yeah, you didn't make the summit, but you still succeeded and accomplished a lot in making it halfway up this pretty tough environment or this steep slope.
Yeah. How do you let them know it's okay that they didn't make it?
We'll have a lot of conversations around it. We do something called group. And so every night we'll sit around and talk as a group, as like your group out there, and bring up a topic of conversation. And so there's not much of a better like teacher than nature. And so sometimes you just can't succeed. And so bringing that up and talking about how that relates to other parts of your life, how you might have such like a perfect idea of what success would mean in a situation, but then to not make it to the peak and to be able to look back and see the things that you did do trying to get there. And also just letting kids or guides have their space to feel whatever they need to about it. I think the guides get more attached to getting to the top of a mountain than the kids a lot of times.
Absolutely. And maybe just tell me a little bit more about group.
Group is, it's one of my favorite times of the day. So at the end of the day, most of the time we'll meet up, and it's like before we go to bed, we'll meet up either around a fire on the beach or something, circle up and have a topic of conversation. And it could be, we could do like an initiative, so some kind of game with a purpose, or some kind of task with a purpose, where then the kids have something that they talk about afterwards, like, oh, what do you think you learned from this? And then they'll debrief it together, or telling stories, or sometimes you just need to have fun after a few hard days of travel.
Yeah. How do you all have fun?
Oh, we have fun all the time out there. It's, I constantly find myself laughing at how ridiculous of a place we put ourselves in sometimes. We play a lot of games. We challenge each other to ridiculous tasks, or paddling becomes really fun, or it is really fun for a lot of people. I consider myself pretty lucky to call that my job.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're saying, yeah, because you get to explore, but you get to connect with these kids.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, let's go to a short break. Remember that you can call in. That number is 874-2345. All right, we're back. Mike, tell me how you got into this line of work, which would be, you know, like seasonal outdoor work and working with kids. You've been doing that too in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in a family that spent a lot of time in the outdoors. Grew up listening to stories from my parents of their time when they, like, meeting in Montana and out all their outdoor adventures out there, and really idolizing those things. And then I spent time in high school working as a camp counselor and just pretty quickly recognized that I loved working with kids. I just enjoy having fun quite a bit. And then through college, I worked as a raft guide in Colorado starting my junior year and studied to become a history teacher. And when I graduated college, I moved to South America, to Bogota, Colombia, to be a history teacher for a year and a half. And then kind of just pieced together seasonal work after that in North Carolina, in Colorado while also teaching in Colombia, and then moved to North Carolina when I moved back to the States.
Oh, wow.
And spent a year and a half there doing like zip line guiding and waterfall rappels and stuff. And then I moved into wilderness therapy. I got my first job doing wilderness therapy down there for another program called Seus of the Carolinas, and pretty quickly recognized that it kind of meshed both my passions of being outdoors and working with kids in a bit more of a structured role than zip lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after like a year and a half at Seus, I ended up, I was supposed to move to Utah for another wilderness therapy job, and then my friend told me about Crossings, and I ended up coming up here instead.
Yeah, why would you pick Alaska over Utah?
I love the water. I spent a lot of my time on the water, so in Colorado on rivers for 4 summers, and just paddling sounds a lot better than backpacking all the time to me, and also being able to go out. This environment's just wild. Coming from Massachusetts, I didn't have like access to wilderness like this. There's not really much access to wilderness like this anywhere else.
Wow. You're from Massachusetts, but your family is from Montana. They met in Montana.
It's a bit of a story, I guess, but my parents met in Montana, and then I grew up in Massachusetts.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
But yeah, this is a different world for you.
Yeah, it's very much so. It's kind of like what I was seeking for a long time in this job. I get to go into just the wildest. I don't know. It's just a really cool environment that we go out in. I've never really seen whales before. So showing up here and being like, oh, I get to see whales next to a canoe all the time. That's pretty cool.
Does that make you nervous?
They're huge, but no. Okay. Yeah, not yet.
Cool. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you said you're drawn to this line of work because you do enjoy working with kids and you do enjoy being outdoors. But yeah, it sounds like you also just love to travel. Like, you're into new places.
Yeah, I definitely, yeah, I like to move and I like to travel. And I think that's what drives me. And being able to, like, also do that as for a living and challenge myself in the outdoors, it's been a pretty good, relationship with my job here.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And I heard that you are going to Mongolia pretty soon.
Yeah. I leave Wrangell on Thursday, and we'll be headed to Mongolia for 5 weeks.
Yeah, tell me all about it.
Oh, yeah. so I'm going with another crossings guide who's also named Mike, and we'll be spending 5 weeks on bicycles over there, biking and pack rafting. We've got a couple rivers picked out that we'd like to go paddle, and then I'll, other than 2 points on a map, don't have much of an idea. We're going to fly into the capital city and then find a way to get to Western Mongolia and then find our way back in five weeks.
Yeah, like how, I imagine you would be going through like rural parts of the country where people aren't going to speak English.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like the most foreign place I've ever been. At least that's my hope for the trip. From reading a lot of trip reports and stuff online, it seems like I'll run into more people who speak English than I expected.
Really?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody recently who spent time over there, and they said that, so it's a nomadic culture. There's a lot of people still living nomadic lifestyle out there, which is really cool. But they said that even in those families, you generally find like one person who can communicate with you in some way. And Mike, who I'm going with, his idea is to just bring some flashcards with words that we need, like water, and just hold it up, or help.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be camping.
Yes, we'll be camping. Yeah, it's a pretty wide open country. It's the fourth least densely populated country in the world.
Really?
Yeah, it's giant, and that's kind of what draws us to it. It's just vast open steppe.
Cool. How many miles are you going to be biking?
I have no idea. There's the route that we originally looked at. It was about 1,200 miles. But I think originally our plan was to transport out to Western Mongolia. There's a town called Olgi, and to try and pedal back to Ulaanbaatar. And that was about 1,200 miles. And we've kind of moved away from being so stuck on pedaling back across the country and more into trying to get to a few different places. So we're starting out trying to go to the Altai Mountains, and then there's this huge lake in northern Mongolia called Hovsgol that we're trying to go to, and there's a river north of there and a river south of there that we'd like to get on. And yeah, got to figure out how to get to each of those places.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, are you going to like have like a radio on you? Like, worst case scenario happens, what do you all do?
We've got these little satellite communicators called Dorms, and use it to text my mom at night and tell her I'm okay.
Okay, awesome. Let's go to break real quick, and then we'll come back and wrap things up. So if you want to call in, the number is 874-2345. All you crossings people. All right, we're back, and it looks like we've got a call. Hello, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Melissa Houston, and I'm here with my son, Micah.
It's my sister.
All right, ask away.
Okay, it's a question from Micah, actually, so I'm going to try and let him speak here.
Hi, Uncle Mike. What is your favorite thing about Alaska?
Oh, sorry. Can you say that again?
What is your favorite thing about Alaska?
Ooh. I think my favorite thing about Alaska is the community I've landed in up here, and just the, living in Wrangell and having people who have just shown me how to live up here and how to get out fishing, and just how adventure is right there all the time. Thank you, Micah.
He said, thank you, Micah. What do you say?
You're welcome.
Love you, dude.
Love you, Mike.
Okay. Thanks for the call. That was nice.
Yeah. They're good people.
Okay. A lot of the Crossings folks, you know, they come up for a summer and then they leave. You've decided that you're going to stay a little bit longer. Why is that?
I've spent the better part of the year since I graduated college moving pretty often. And I've just loved Wrangell. I've loved being here. I love the people I work with, and I love the job that I'm doing. And it's a job that challenges me and a job that I'm supported by the people I work with, which is really special and something that I'm pretty grateful for.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Do we have...
It's probably Michael. Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. My name is Michael. And first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yes.
And the question I think a lot of people have been wanting to ask, Mike, is are you a dog person or a cat person?
This is who I'm going to Mongolia with. I'm a dog person, definitely a dog person. I had had cats growing up, but also a dog. I think I'm a dog person.
That's good. Me too. I was concerned about our trip compatibility and, just one thing. I also would like to just a comment for Mike Green. I think that your voice sounds really good on the radio.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
That's who I'll be sharing a tent with for 5 weeks.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're a dog person. He's a dog person too, it sounds like.
I think it'll work.
Yeah. But you're not bringing the dog.
We're not bringing a dog. But he's been reading this book that it's like the Lonely Planet Guide to Traveling in Mongolia. And he said that the phrase, so like people live in a gur or a yurt, and the phrase that you yell is hold the dog when you're coming up to a yurt. So, we'll see how it works. We'll probably not know how to pronounce it.
Hold the dog. Yeah. I hope you don't get bit by a dog.
Yeah, they tend to chase the bicycle.
Definitely. Cool. Well, I think we can wrap up our conversation. Is there anything else you want to tell the lovely folks of Wrangell, or are we good?
I think I'm okay. I'm good.
Okay. Well, I want you to have an awesome trip, and it sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thanks for being here. All right. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:29. We'll be back next Tuesday, as always, at 1 p.m. Peace out.